Hello and welcome to The Ballpark, a podcast from the Phelan US Centre here at the London School of Economics. I'm Chris Gilson, Managing Editor of the Phelan US Centre's blog on US politics and policy, USAP. We're continuing our mini-series on artificial intelligence in the US, which explores some of the current debates around AI and the implications for society today and in the future. For centuries, systems and technologies have been developed to assist or even replace human workers. Now, with the growth of the capability of AI, there was growing concern that this technology could make millions of jobs and their workers obsolete. To talk about AI and labor automation, I spoke to Baobao Zhang, Maxwell Dean Associate Professor of the Politics of AI at Syracuse University. Her current research focuses on trust in digital technology and the governance of artificial intelligence. We spoke about how recent advances in AI have shifted the landscape when it comes to labor automation. The anxiety that many people are feeling about the potential for AI to affect jobs and industries through automation, and what students should be doing to best prepare for a career in workplaces that will be affected by AI in the coming decades. I began by asking Professor Zhang to outline their research and current work.
My name is Baobao Zhang, and I am an associate professor of political science at the Maxwell School of Citizenship and Public Affairs at Syracuse University. And my research focus is on AI ethics and governance. My research and teaching have sort of two broad research streams. The first one is looking at expert as well as public opinion towards AI, looking at a variety of different issues, not only related to automation, but other issues such as what do they think are the big challenges related to AI ethics and governance, including cybersecurity, data privacy, et cetera. And then my second research stream is more focused on AI and the future of work. So specifically, how do workers think about potential threats and opportunities that they face due to AI and other related technologies?
So how have recent advances in AI shifted the landscape when it comes to labor automation in the workplace? Are we seeing automation expanded into new kinds of jobs or industries that weren't previously affected? And how significant are these changes compared to previous waves of technological disruption that we might have seen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So by now, I think perhaps the vast majority of people in the US or the UK have heard of AI. We saw when ChatGPT came out, a lot of people have decided to use it and to use it both for work and for fun. And I think this rise of generative AI, often we talk about large language models, but it's also expanded into other types of AI, for instance, text to image, text to audio or video models have really now had positive impact in terms of labor automation, where it's expanded into impacting new kinds of jobs that weren't previously affected. So some jobs that come to mind include computer programmers, writers, artists, videographers, jobs that typically require creativity or years of training and large amounts of expertise. Previously, when we talk about automation, economists and those who study labor tend to focus on routine automation. So you can imagine a robot at a car factory putting together the car much quicker than human workers can do, or processes that automate office tasks. But those types of automation tend to impact routine tasks that don't require a lot of creativity or human judgment. In contrast, the type of tasks that generative AI can automate require oftentimes a lot of human creativity and judgment and decision making. For instance, writing a essay or writing a paper. Many educators, especially teachers and college professors, probably have experienced students who are using AI to complete their homework assignments, to write papers, and to finish reports. those types of automation weren't possible before large language models got really good. And, you know, they're not perfect. I don't think they can write an essay that's, you know, A plus, but they can at least get you to a sort of a decent level.
The last few years have seen more and more reports that AI automation will remove the need for many tasks and jobs. And a lot of these reports suggest that maybe millions of people will become unemployed because of this in this new world of work that involves AI. How accurate would you say these predictions are likely to be?
I think these predictions are quite uncertain. Even the economists who are making these predictions say, you know, please take it with a grain of salt. I like to sort of start off by saying that past predictions haven't always been accurate. For instance, there was a famous paper that came out in 2017 by Fran Osborne that said 47% of US jobs were at high risk of automation. And when you look into the report, a lot of the jobs that were predicted to be at high risk of automation were jobs that had a lot of routine tasks. So you can imagine like being a factory worker, being a bus driver, being a truck driver, being a service worker. Those jobs were at high risk of automation. And they didn't predict that computer scientists or writers or artists were actually going to be the ones who are going to have a lot of their tasks automated by AI, because at the time they were more focused on robotics and automation of manual tasks versus automation of cognitive tasks as sort of the main driver of automation. And then when generative AI became more widely deployed in the past few years, economists had to go in and revise these predictions. So there's a study that came out. It's a collaboration between researchers at OpenAI and Professor Daniel Rock at UPenn that tries to sort of revise these predictions focused on large language models' impact. And they find that 80% of the US workforce could have at least 10% of their work affected by large language models, while around 19% of workers may see at least 50% of their tasks impacted. And so if you dive into the details of which jobs they think predict will be impacted, it is a lot of the jobs that I had previously mentioned that require sort of more cognitive intensive tasks like accountants or computer programmers, mathematicians even. So in terms of predictions, I just like to say economists have gotten it wrong in the past. And while there are a lot of forecasts, I think it's also important to focus on what is happening on the ground in terms of the economic data, but also people's lived experiences.
What you're talking about is maybe people learning to live with AI and their jobs rather than, or some aspects of the job being kind of replaced it rather than the entire job wholesale, even in those kind of cognitive industries, as you kind of mentioned.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be different for workers at different levels of experience and skills. So I think the people who are most impacted from the empirical data that we have are entry-level workers, students who are just entering the workplace. There's some recent economic data that suggests recent college grads aged 22 to 27, they actually now have a higher unemployment rate in the U.S. compared to the average worker in the U.S. So their unemployment rate is 5.8% versus 4% for the average worker. And some economists think it's because employers are replacing entry-level workers with AI. So this is just like, you're not getting hired because we can use AI to do your jobs. And we have anecdotal stories of young people who have applied to hundreds of jobs and they're not hearing back, in part because everyone is using generative AI to write their cover letters and resumes. So there are a lot more job applications for a job opening. So in contrast, I think for workers who might have more experience and years in the workplace, they might be better suited to adapt to AI use rather than just be displaced. Because at the current moment, a lot of these AI systems are not fully enterprise ready. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to deploy this AI agent. It's just going to do someone's job entirely. Because large language models or other AI systems, prediction systems, still can get it wrong. So you need to have a human to check the work. And the human who's checking the work, typically employers want to see that they have years of expertise so that they're able to spot the mistakes that the AI makes. So I think in the intermediate phase, you know, until AI agents get way better, is that we have human workers managing AI.
Your current research interests involve public opinion on AI and adaptation around labor automation. Could you talk about what automation anxiety is and what some of today's most common anxieties around automation are?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I like to define automation anxiety as anxiety about potential negative impacts of automation. Mostly, researchers have focused on job displacement due to the increasing use of AI and robots. But I think that job displacement is one part of the story, and there could be other concerns. One of the big concerns that a lot of people have already experienced is a decrease in the quality of the workplace. So AI is not just automating tasks, but it could be used for other ways in the workplace. Digital surveillance is a big part of it. So my mentor, Dr. Karen Levy, has written about digital surveillance of truck drivers. It started out with electronic logging devices that track how fast truck drivers are driving, which takes away from their autonomy to do their work. But it has since moved to like biometric monitoring to make sure that they're not tired or falling asleep, which, you know, is good for public safety, but it's quite invasive as someone who's, you know, hooked up to all these digital devices. We've also seen digital surveillance in not just for truck drivers, but also for office workers tracking whether you're on your computer doing work. On the other side, there's the concern that algorithmic management could, again, reduce workers' autonomy. A lot of this has been affecting gig workers. So Uber and Lyft drivers have faced a lot of frustration around whether they get to work at all or what prices the algorithm set that affects their wages. I mentioned previously that algorithms and AI is increasingly used in human resource management. So whether you get hired by a company, whether you get fired because you don't have high enough work performance, oftentimes that's not controlled by a human anymore. It's determined by an AI, whether it's an AI reading your cover letter or resume, or an AI system evaluating your video job interview, or an AI system that's asked to evaluate your work performance. So I like to think that job displacement is a major concern, but given that unemployment rates, at least in the US, is not astronomically high, how people are experiencing AI in the workplace is more sort of affecting the quality of their work rather than their job security.
Who would you say is most anxious about automation? Is it workers, employers, policymakers, or maybe someone else?
Yeah, I think at the current moment, who's the most concerned about AI and automation are probably workers who are at higher risk of losing their jobs due to automation. Again, it's pretty heterogeneous because most jobs can't be fully automated right now, but some jobs are at higher risk. So where we've seen workers that are very concerned are a lot of creative workers, especially freelancers. So if you have used Upwork or Fiverr, a lot of those jobs can now be automated. And there are some studies that have shown significant wage decreases for these freelance creative workers. We've also seen in the US, creative workers like actors and screenwriters going on strike because they're concerned about being displaced by AI and that they're losing their ability to work and sort of their power within the broader ecosystem. In contrast, I think a lot of employers are quite enthusiastic about adopting AI because they see a lot of potential for growth, for increased productivity.
So alongside technological development, has society always suffered from anxiety about automation? Is it a universal phenomenon or is it culturally relative?
So I think automation anxiety has always been with us. With the Industrial Revolution, you had Luddites who were artisan workers, textile workers, a lot of them who lost their jobs due to the mechanization of textile production, and they smashed machines in as a means of political protest. We had automation anxiety with the ICT revolution that impacted a lot of middle-skilled workers, where they lost their jobs due to automation of routine tasks. And so I think it's always been with us. Although previously there was displacement of jobs, there were also creation of new jobs, right? So in terms of the Industrial Revolution, we saw that there were opportunities for workers to be employed as factory workers. They weren't necessarily better paid than artisanal workers from the past, but it afforded opportunities to lots of people who moved from the countryside into cities to work in factories. And with the ICT revolution, there were clearly losers, but there were also winners. So the workers who benefited from digital technologies saw their wages and job opportunities increase immensely. Even a few years ago, a lot of universities were pushing their students to go into computer science and data science because those were very lucrative jobs. So is this trend going to continue? Maybe AI will provide lots of opportunities for workers. Certainly that's one possibility. But I think the anxiety that people feel now is that maybe this AI revolution is going to be different. We have a lot of tech CEOs who run the leading AI labs say, oh, we're going to develop human-level machine intelligence. We're going to develop artificial general intelligence or even super intelligence, AI that exceeds human performances across, you know, most tasks, if not all tasks. And then it's like, can anyone compete with AI and robots if we reach that stage? So there is that concern that this wave of automation is different, is in that it's not going to create more opportunities for human workers, but rather take away most, if not all, employment opportunities for humans. Yeah, so I don't think the automation anxiety is sort of a universal phenomenon in that everyone's equally scared about it. We've seen cross national patterns where it seems like those who are in developed economies like the US tends to be more concerned. It could be that workers in those countries are doing jobs that are more likely to be automated. We've also seen this really consistent finding across surveys where men tend to be more accepting of AI compared to women. It could be that they're more comfortable with technology. There have been some studies that say that jobs that employ men more so than women tend to be at lower risk of automation, but that sort of varies across studies. So I wouldn't say that automation anxiety is sort of a universal phenomenon.
So what steps has the US government taken in response to the growing threat of job loss due to AI and automation? And how would you assess the adequacy of those responses so far? Thank you.
So AI and its impact in the workplace was certainly something that the Biden administration had focused on as part of the AI Bill of Rights and sort of their AI policy. Now, I think the current White House is trying to move in a different direction. So the current White House is definitely less concerned about negative societal issues that could be caused by AI. And they're sort of more on the full steam ahead in terms of winning the AI arms race. So when you read the new AI action plan that came out, the section related to jobs and labor is more focused about creating jobs that are related to the AI economy. And there have been two executive orders that have focused on advancing AI education for American youths and preparing Americans for these, what they call high-paying skilled trade jobs of the future. And they, you know, lay out a plan to educate students about AI and to increase AI literacy and to train workers for jobs related to AI, for instance, semiconductor manufacturing. But I think there's a bit of a disconnect between what these action plans and executive orders say and sort of policies on the ground. For instance, a number of NSF, National Science Foundation grants for AI education have been terminated. So that seems to go against the idea that we need to increase AI literacy for students. Also, the U.S. Department of Education is being dismantled. So then who is going to implement increasing AI literacy for students? So I think it's a good idea to increase AI literacy and education for American youths and to help train workers for high-skilled manufacturing that will be an important part of the AI economy. But I don't necessarily see concrete policies on the ground yet that will help the U.S. achieve those goals. And then finally, I think maybe there's some disconnect between this concern about job loss due to AI and automation, where if it's true that many people are going to lose their jobs, and what can the government do to support them? Because the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which has recently passed, made significant cuts to Medicaid and other welfare programs. So if you are a worker who loses their job to automation, then you have less of a social safety net to be able to, you know, have health insurance. And that does worry me because if we take automation and job displacement seriously, then a lot of people are going to need support to help them get back on their feet.
So in a 2019 paper, you found that people with higher incomes and tech backgrounds were much more likely to support AI development. Is this still the case? And if so, could there be a socioeconomic divide between those who build AI and those whose jobs are affected by it?
When my 2019 paper came out, we did find that people with higher incomes and technological backgrounds were more likely to support AI development. I think that trend in more recent studies have gone away a bit. So it's no longer that if you're highly educated, you're just automatically more likely to support AI development. And this is work done by some researchers at MIT. Because a lot of folks who work in these high-tech jobs are now seeing tech layoffs where their employers are trying to use AI to automate away some of their tasks, if not their jobs entirely. So I think we're going to see this maybe different divide in terms of socioeconomic class and who supports AI versus who doesn't support AI, because I think the impact of AI is going to be felt pretty heterogeneously. Let's take the example of a computer programmer versus a doctor, right? These are both highly people who work in computer science and people who work in medicine are all pretty highly educated and pretty well off, but doctors are much more regulated and have much more political power in terms of stopping automation in some aspects of their jobs. Again, it's a pretty high risk sector. You don't just want to completely automate medicine. That would be pretty scary. And most consumers would not want that. compared to computer programmers, computer scientists, while some aspects of their job, I would say, are pretty high risk, I think people are like a lot more tolerant of like AI writing code than, say, you know, AI diagnosing your diseases without a doctor checking it. So there I see doctors having much more power in terms of controlling how AI is deployed in their field versus computer programmers.
In your research, you've also found that AI researchers are less concerned about job loss and hiring bias than the public. Why might that be? And is there still a disconnect between the people building AI and those who might be affected by it?
Yeah. So in my paper, I found that AI researchers were less concerned about job loss and hiring bias than the public. I think in part because they were more concerned about other things, such as cybersecurity risks. And frankly, AI researchers then and now are at least relatively safe from potential job loss due to AI, although some tech companies are now using AI to do AI research. So even AI researchers could be impacted. I do think there is disconnect between people building AI and people who are impacted by it. And that gap perhaps have grown since AI have been more widely deployed. A lot of tech companies are fully embracing this idea of artificial general intelligence, where they can build AI systems that can do the vast majority of human tasks. That's the goal, at least. But I don't think the public is necessarily fully behind that. And I think that's where the big disconnect is.
Is there any possibility of encouraging an ethics by design approach, where ethical considerations are built into AI design and development amongst AI researchers when it comes to AI's impact on the workforce?
So for a while, AI ethicists have really trying to push this ethics by design approach, where they're encouraging AI developers to put in ethical standards when designing AI systems and deploying them. I think what has changed now is that a lot of these generative AI systems are not built with a specific purpose in mind. They're built as general purpose technology. So you can use ChatGPT to write a poem, to do your homework, to write business reports, to write scripts, potentially even, you know, diagnose diseases and things of that nature. So when it comes to AI becoming so general purpose, I think it's a lot harder to build in ethical guardrails because you have to sort of anticipate all the different ways that the technology can be used. I think it's a bit scary that has been sort of the default mode of AI development in the past few years. And that's what a lot of developers assume should be the way forward, that we should have more general and more capable AI systems. When in reality, what a lot of consumers or employers or companies or organizations need is not this general hammer that can just, you know, smash all your problems, but tools that are more well suited for the particular purpose in mind.
So are you saying that at this point, there isn't any desire, or maybe developers don't see the need to take the idea of job displacement or labor inequality into account when they're designing AI, because they're building these general AIs that could be used for anything. And if they're used to replace a job, well, that's not really their decision. It's the decision of the employer or the organization, if that makes sense.
Yes. So I think instead of developers building AI systems for a specific purpose, now most of these tech companies are selling their AI systems more as a service. So it would be like using a platform or being like using Microsoft Office, something like that. And the onus is then put on the deployers to make sure it's used in an ethical way. But I think a lot of developers are sort of ceding control to the deployers.
So in your 2022 conference paper, No Rage Against the Machines, Threat of Automation Does Not Change Policy Preference, your findings suggested that people who may be misattributing automation-related job loss to migration, globalization, or free trade do not necessarily change their political opinions, even when that misattribution is corrected. What does this tell us about the relationship between AI automation and politics?
So in my paper, No Rage Against the Machines, I found that telling people that job loss happens due to automation and not due to immigration or globalization, that doesn't seem to impact their policy preferences, even though that made them somewhat more concerned about automation as a threat. And since then, I have written a few papers that are forthcoming with some of my colleagues that have found similar null effects, where we don't find that, you know, making automation sound more threatening actually impacts people's policy preferences. So I think this happens for several reasons. So automation anxiety doesn't happen in a vacuum. You're probably anxious about a variety of other things. And in terms of American politics, there's a lot of political rhetoric, mostly coming from the Republican Party, around the threat of immigrants, the threat of trade. We've seen that the White House has really been pushing tariffs as a means to combat globalization. So those factors are probably a lot more politically salient to the public than automation, although automation has sort of creeped up in terms of its salience. And I think partisanship is also driving a lot of this null findings. So some of my colleagues have looked at whether the threat of automation increases support for universal basic income, which has been pushed as this policy to help people who are technologically unemployed. But the survey respondents' partisan backgrounds really shape how they react to universal basic income. So those who are more on the left tend to be a lot more supportive than those on the right. As you can imagine, that's also true for social welfare support in general. So while AI is this new looming threat, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. People still have other political anxieties that they're thinking about.
So for any students or young people who are listening, what can or should they be doing to best prepare for a career in workplaces that will be affected by AI in the coming decades?
So if you're a young person listening to this, I think if you're undecided about what types of jobs you want to pursue, I think there are certainly jobs that will not yet be automated in the next maybe 10 years. A lot of these jobs involve skills that ChatGPT or generative AI can't do. So I'm thinking, for instance, tradespeople like electricians, repairs people, plumbers. A lot of care work still cannot be automated. For instance, nursing, being a primary school teacher, being a nursery school teacher, and a lot of jobs in advanced manufacturing can't be fully automated yet. And a lot of these industries need workers. They're not traditionally are considered like prestigious industries, but I think nowadays young people are like looking around and saying, you know, it used to be quite glamorous to be a computer programmer and work at a tech firm and have all these plushy benefits, but that ship might have sailed. And it's sort of more these back to basic jobs that are harder to automate. And I think if you have already chosen a career path or you've chosen a particular field of study at university, I think it's still good to be flexible. So you may not work in what you're trained in. You might have to learn different skills on the job. And then finally, I think it's important to leverage your networks and your connections to find employment, because as I mentioned previously, employers are now flooded with AI-generated resumes. And in response, they have to use AI to filter out these resumes. And so it's this kind of arms race between applicants and employers. And unfortunately, I think what gives you an advantage is having that human connection. So that means, you know, going to networking events and doing the hard work of talking to people in person.
And for listeners who might be interested in the impact of AI automation on jobs and industries, what are some of the most important things they should be looking out for in the near future? So are there any particular trends, sectors, or policy developments that they should be keeping an eye on?
So if you are listening to the news or reading the news these days, you'll probably see a lot of different forecasts by pundits making predictions about when artificial general intelligence will come about or when AI will do most jobs currently done by humans. And it's kind of scary, but it's also very uncertain. And you also have critical voices who say, you know, that's just all AI hype. I think it's more important to focus on the job reports, the empirical data that's coming out in terms of how AI is impacting workers currently and perhaps in the near future. So are certain sectors or certain occupations seeing a lot of layoffs because employers are replacing workers with AI? And then I think another trend to focus on is how are young people who are training for the future workplace, are they moving with their feet? Are they saying, you know, maybe going to university or getting advanced degrees, maybe that's not the way to go. And I'm going to pursue jobs that have a less risk of displacement due to automation in the future.
And just before we finish, I'd like to give you the opportunity to direct our listeners' attention to any recent or upcoming books, articles, or other projects you're working on that you think they might find to be of interest.
So I want to tell you about this forthcoming white paper that a number of co-authors and I had worked on. It will be published through a think tank called Americans for Responsible Innovation, and it's on AI and labor policy. So if you want to dive deeper into some of the issues we talk about, this is a great report. And we also propose a number of policy recommendations for how to track AI's impact in the labor force, and also recommendations for education and training of future workers.
Fantastic. Well, our listeners should definitely keep an eye out for that. The only thing left for me to say is, Professor Baobao Zhang, thank you so much for speaking to The Ballpark today.
Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Baobao Zhang is Maxwell Dean, Associate Professor of the Politics of AI at Syracuse University. And that's it for this episode of The Ballpark. Thanks to Baobao Zhang for joining us in this episode. For more information about the Phelan US Center, you can go to www.lse.ac.uk/united-states. On X and Instagram, we're at LSE_US, and on LinkedIn, we're at LSE United States. This episode of The Ballpark was produced by Chris Gilson and Luke Digweed. A theme tune is by Ranger and the Rearrangers, a Seattle-based gypsy jazz band. You can look them up at rangerswings.com. To listen to all our previous episodes, just enter LSE Ballpark into your search engine of choice. You'll find us. We're free to listen to, and unlike lots of other podcasts, we're ad-free. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. Email us any feedback at uscenter@lse.ac.uk, or you can send us a tweet at @LSE_US. And tell your friends about us. If you like what you've heard, then please rate and review us via your podcast platform. It helps other people find the show. The content and opinions expressed in this podcast do not reflect those of the Phelan US Center or the London School of Economics. Thanks for listening.